we're back for the 8th episode of our weekly podcast, Home Mat Advantage. My name is Sam Herring, and I'm accompanied by Jude Swisher. So, Jude, I bet things are going pretty well in State College for you this week. You're fresh off of an RTC qualification.
Yeah.
One of your biggest goals. How's that feel?
Feels awesome. That was an awesome little intro. This was kind of the goal, the overarching goal for my freshman season. I just wanted to qualify for the RTC programs. For those of you who don't know, is once you qualify for the RTC, you are qualified for the next 5 years. I can wrestle at any RTC, I believe, within like 250 miles from me. So, luckily for me, that's, the NLWC. So, I wrestled pretty well. I had a really good weekend. I just want to say thank you to a couple of my coaches. First of all, my dad. Thank you so much for sticking by me, all the way. But for those of you who don't know, my dad is a huge supporter of me, and he does a lot of stuff with this podcast, too. He's really, really supportive, and I really owe it all to him. I actually wouldn't be alive if it weren't for him. So, thanks, Dad. Second coaches are Aaron Pavlechko and Brad Pataki for coaching me at the tournament and at M2. Thank you guys so much. You guys really believed in me and helping me make all these mid-match adjustments. Thank you guys so much. And my last coaches are Mark McKnight, Eric Thompson, and David Taylor, just for believing in me, helping me achieve my goals. Thank you guys so much. Well, but the World Team Trials happened. So many storylines. So it was crazy. A lot of stuff happened. But first, I would like to remind our listeners, please, you can send us questions. You can send us comments. Tell us we're doing a great job, give us some feedback. We have a Twitter, HMA_pod. Our email is hmatadvantage@gmail.com. You can follow us at samwise_2006 and at FRL_questioner. But Sam, you ready to hop right into this?
I am so ready. There are so many awesome things that happened this weekend. And one of the biggest things that was, super interesting, super sad at the same time, just really awesome. Tony Ramos retired, and in one of the best ways wrestling has, it's a great thing that wrestling has, the way that we do it. Tony Ramos left his shoes in the middle of the mat and walked off after lost to Nico Megalurdis, which kind of stunk. But hate to see him go, but also I can't wait to see what he can do in the coaching world when he puts all his time and effort into it. I think he's going to be a great coach. He was really one of the greatest wrestlers that when I was younger, he was on top of it. And when I really started first getting really interested in wrestling, he was one of the top guys. And so he has an amazing story. He's one of the best NCAA lightweight wrestlers of this era. Mm-hmm. Super fun to watch. And again, I'm sad to see him go.
Yeah, Tony Ramos is really, really awesome. Thank you so much, Tony, for entertaining us with these awesome, awesome matches all throughout the years. Good luck. Good luck. Well, here we are. Final X is 100% decided, and it is looking so good. It is so good. But I think, for the most part, both me and Sam are decided that Rutgers, I think, is the event to go to. The matchups are going to be really, really good. We got, at least for men's freestyle, Yanni Zane, Nicole Cox, DT Downey, Kyle Dake, maybe Kyle Dake Daringer. We don't know if that's going to happen yet or not. Stevenson Gwazowski, like, it's going to be fire all the way through. Sam, I know you have a couple favorite matches. I don't, because every single match is going to be awesome. I can't pick a favorite. They're all going to be really, really good. But what do you think, Sam? Who are your favorite matches, I guess you could say? All final X's. Yeah.
Well, the fact that Kyle Dake and David Taylor are not for sure for Rutgers makes it a little bit scary for the fans going to Rutgers. Like, you could be out of two big matchups out of just five. But anyway, getting into my top three matches. In no particular order, Yanni Zayn, Nicol Cox, Stevenson Gwizdowski.
Oh, so like the other matches.
My top three. But again, like Jude, all matches are going to be awesome. These are just some that I chose. One of them that I'm really excited to see that's not on this list is Dayton Fix, Tom Skillman. And we've seen three of those matches already. And I can't wait for the next five, hopefully six.
Yeah, I woke up today really excited for Imar Burrows because Imar's looking real good. He's 100% confident he can win. So I think he has a shot.
I think he has a shot, but I just don't see Imar being the guy to knock off the king like that.
Yeah,
Jordan Burrows is still going and he's still ready, and I think he can knock off Sidikov for the world title.
Right, I agree.
But yeah, any other matches that you really are interested in for Final X? It's kind of like an honorable mention.
Sixty-one. It just kind of got turned on its head this weekend. I'm excited for it.
That one's gonna be cool. I was excited to see if Megalunas or Brewer would get through, just because I felt like those guys would push Cologne to make it fireworks, to make it a super entertaining match.
Right, Nico shoots a whole lot.
Yeah, but Tyler Graf proved this weekend that he can do that too. He can make it a shootout and he can entertain some people. I'm excited for that match.
You want to jump ahead and we can talk about Tyler Graf right now and then work our way back, you know, on topic.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry.
And that's okay. Tyler Graf, he wrestled super well. He against Nico. Has he ever beaten Nico before?
Not that I know of. Right. But it was a while back when they wrestled in college, and I'm not really sure.
Well, he had a great re-attack right to a very, very tight ankle lace and got 6 points on the board super quickly. I think, for the most part, Nico looked a lot better than Graf, and he probably is a little bit better than Graf. Nico really pushed the pace. He had a ton of shots. And for a little bit there, it looked like he was going to come back. But Graf's defense was very, very sound. And he got it done.
That's the problem with Megalunas is I feel like he's the better wrestler than so many guys he wrestles. Mm-hmm. But because of his attack rate with his shots, he lets himself be up to crazy things that happen, like what happened in the Brewer match and the ankle lace off of a re-attack. He kind of gives himself up for some of that. So it is kind of interesting to see so much happen to the guy you feel like is better. But honestly, if so much could happen to Nico Megalunas like that, I don't know if he's the guy that we would want on our world team because of that danger in him.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, better than giving up passivity points. That's no fun.
That's true. But if they can win a world medal like that, I'm good with them.
Yeah. Sam, let's talk about how good our team is looking for worlds.
Okay. So, I looked up rankings from Seth Patara that he did on Flow Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Seth Patara. He is a master in the international wrestling scheme. He blows me away with the knowledge that he has of the guys. I can't even pronounce these guys, and he's writing articles, spelling their names.
Yeah, that's just one part.
But anyway, so I took all the rankings for Team USA and Team Russia, and I put together the average ranking. And I got USA's average ranking was 5.1.
Okay.
And Russia's was at 2.3.
Oh, geez. So Russia is, you know, a consistent 3 or 4 spots ahead of us.
Yeah.
But, you know,
except
still
for our weights where it's like 74, 79, 86, 92.
Yeah.
And even 97. They're only one or behind us.
Right.
But in those weights where we don't have our guys up there. And then you got to remember Yanni. Yanni's at 7, I believe. Just because he hasn't wrestled enough international events, he could very easily. I mean, he just beat the number one guy.
He just beat Punier, right?
Oda Guru's number one from Japan. And I truly believe that Yanni beats Oda Guru. I think he can win a world title this year. So
both young guys.
That into account, that would be an extreme factor for the average. But yeah, super interesting that I feel like we've got a great team this year. We can do well. But man, Russia's looking awesome.
Yeah.
They've got top five in almost every weight.
Well,
it's amazing what they can do.
Super cool. Super cool. Well, we'll stay tuned on that. Hopefully, as we get closer to Worlds, our rankings will shift around a little bit. But, you know, it's looking to be really, really, really good.
We got this weekend in Italy, there's a big international event. We'll see Chamizo Sitikov, which is something that's super interesting. That was the rematch of the World semifinals last year. Super excited for that. I'm going to be watching that.
Cool. Okay. Let's start making our way through. We're not going to do really weight by weight, but we're going to just say some big things. So, first of all, Zane did it. Zane beat J.O. Wow. It was a great, great two matches. I think some stuff that I noticed right off the bat is that Zane had an exceptional pace. Like, he just kept coming. He would run back to the center. He would shove him out. Like, it was really good. But J.O. didn't actually fade a whole lot. From what I saw, it didn't look like J.O. was having a ton of trouble. Why do you think that, Sam?
Well, one of the main reasons, I know that Corey Cooperman had mentioned prior to the U.S. Open that J.O. had been doing his weight cut a lot smarter. That might have had something to do with it, where he got his weight down and he was good constantly. He wasn't 16 pounds over the day before and then just, boom, dropped it all. And then in the room with Mark Gray and Yanni Diakamahalis as a partner and coaches, that's huge for your conditioning. They can help him grow as a wrestler, not only as a wrestler, but also in his conditioning so that he can wrestle guys like Zane for the whole 6 minutes at his highest level.
Right. Sam, have you ever had a really bad weight cut?
No, I haven't. I don't really cut weight. I'm 12.
Right.
That'll be something that hopefully never happens, but if it does, it'll be when I'm high school or college.
Yeah. Hopefully never. Cutting weight first. So, you know, it's like a necessary evil. You got to go through it. Well, man, but how about this takedown J.O. was getting? Like a matador, like, shucking him by. Oh, my gosh. So slick. You know, he just made it really look easy, especially on Zane Rutherford, who's super tough to score on. But
that's something that reminds me of Gilman Fix. Fix is so good at that overcaller shuck, and Gilman is just like a sumo wrestler. He'll just try to push you out of bounds, and Fix is so good at that shuck. But Gilman's gotten good at keeping that collar tie with the elbow low so that Fix can't shuck him by. Right. And I think that's something that Zane had to do. I don't know that he did it, but I think, yeah, he had to do that. He had to drop his elbow low so he wouldn't get shucked. And that's another Oklahoma State tactic, another Oklahoma State wrestling technique that they're really, really good at.
But, you know, Zane, he overcame those deficits, came back, persevered against a really, really good rival. But awesome job to both wrestlers. Well, moving on, at 74, Nolf lost to Imar pretty bad for the most part. The series was 2-1, ended with a tech fall. But, I have some theories. I think that, you know, obviously Nolf isn't a full 163-pounder. He's in a full 74-kilogram. So I don't think he has that kind of power to deal with Imar yet. He also hurt his ankle in the match against Anthony Valencia. Yeah, that's going to make it a lot harder to drive off the back foot. And, you know, he hasn't had the freestyle training that Imar has. So he's injured, he's smaller, he hasn't been doing the freestyle stuff. This is all things that you got to be able to control when you're wrestling Imar. What do you think, Sam?
Oh, for sure. You know something interesting about that? If I asked you which series was closer between Zane, J.O., and Nolf Imar, that would be easy. You would go Zane, J.O., right?
Right, probably.
But that match was straight two for Zane.
Mm-hmm.
And Nolf actually beat Imar in the second match.
Yeah.
And yet it seemed like The whole match, the whole, all three matches, it was Imar just destroying him.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting that it actually went three matches, even though Imar seemed to have beat him the whole time. It was just that big 4-point move.
Right.
That
Hail Mary.
Changed the scheme of everything. Yeah. But onto the match itself, or the matches. Yeah, Nolf hurt his ankle in his match against Anthony Valencia, and he just didn't look the same after that. And we've talked about for the past couple weeks, since NCAAs when he wrestled Heidley and Berger, he just didn't look great. He just has not been looking like Nolf has in the past. He's off. He's not attacking as much as he has. He's not able to scramble out of a lot of leg attacks that the guys may have on him. I mean, he had a really tight match with Massa, who himself had a great tournament. Massa beat
Knocking out Gant, yeah.
And that was a huge win for me to just watch Massa. He's been a guy that I really wanted to be good just because I love his style, but he's been super inconsistent. I'm hoping that this is signs of Massa getting back to really good Logan Massa.
Right. I agree. But, you know, more Nolf to come. Hopefully he can get it together. And I bet we'll see him next year.
How do you see him doing next year, 2020?
Oh, he's got up. He'll beat Imar. He'll beat the entire world.
What about JB? You think he beats JB? In quite possibly his final year?
I don't know yet. We'll think about it.
You don't know yet? Okay.
Okay.
I do not see that happening yet. Unless Imar or Nolf does something crazy, beats Sitikov in some open event or Chamizo or something. Speaking of which, beat the streets next year. Chamizo, Nolf, make it happen.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great matchup. That'd be really, really cool.
I hope you hear me, beat the streets.
Well, at beat the streets, that's what we want. Okay, got it.
That's what we do.
They're saying it's gonna go on. I'm getting the text from Beat the Streets right now. Yep, Nolf, okay. Nolf Chamizo confirmed. Okay. wow. Dang, Derringer. there's no one standing in the way between him and Kyle Dake.
Oh. Except possibly Kyle Dake's knee.
That also might be something standing in the way of this match happening. Okay.
Yeah.
Extenuating circumstances.
At Rutgers.
Right. But, you know, he, for the most part, he really trashed the Heat. He looked really, really, really good. And he has something special that a lot of these other guys don't. What are your thoughts on that whole scenario there, Sam?
Well, before we get into Derringer, let's talk about Zahid Mark Hall. I mean, this is a rivalry that we've talked about could go down as the greatest rivalry in history. But as said in the past, it ain't a rivalry if only one guy wins.
Right.
It's starting to look all Zahid Valencia. I picked him to win just because, I mean, I couldn't pick against him because of what he did to Mark Hall again in the NCAA's finals. I don't think Mark Hall is going to be able to succeed at the highest level if he cannot generate any offense like we've been seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he can't generate offense, I'm thinking next year it's a possibility for Mark Hall to take an Olympic red shirt, and even possible that Zahid goes up to 184 that he can wrestle 86 kilos for the Olympic year. But if Mark Hall takes an Olympic red shirt, that means he's trying to focus on the Olympics, which means he cannot wrestle 79 kilos, which means he's either going down to 65, which would be 74 kilos, where he would have to wrestle Nolf, Imar, JB, or go up to 86 with Derringer, Kyle Dake, and whoever,
David Taylor. Maybe Jaden Cox.
Yeah, I would imagine Jaden Cox goes down to 86 instead of
97. Instead of going up to Kyle?
Not necessarily Kyle, but Sedulayev.
Mm.
I hate to say it, but I don't think Jaden Cox thinks he can beat Sedulayev.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Who knows? But,
we'll see.
Hopefully
crazy
Mark
off
Hall,
topic here.
Yeah. Hopefully Mark Hall can, generate some offense against the Heat, and he can start reclaiming this rivalry.
That would be fun. That would be entertaining, but I don't see it happening anytime soon, sadly.
Got some work to do. Wow.
But yeah, so Zahid won that match 5-0, dominating win for Zahid. And then he made it to the finals with Derringer. And it was a tech the first time, I think it was 13-2 for the first match. And Derringer just dominated the match. He's looking awesome. I believe that he said in his interview, he's training as hard as he possibly can. He's training harder than he ever has in the past. He said that he's running 20 miles a week.
Wow.
And he's been training crazy hard for 6-7 months straight. I'm excited. I mean, people who aren't giving Derringer a shot against Dake, you better rethink that, because he definitely does. Now, I'm not going to pick him just because it's Kyle Dake. He just nobody in the world that scored a point on him. But Derringer absolutely has a shot. I would probably pick this match to be Kyle Dake in 3 matches.
Yeah. Do you think it will go 3 matches? Or?
I think it will go 3 matches, yes.
Nice. Well, I hope so.
Me too. And it's at Rutgers. And I'm going to Rutgers.
Fingers crossed. Okay. Gable Steveson. Wow. He ran through some names. Tony Nelson, Don Bradley, Adam Kuhn. Guys, he attacked Adam Kuhn. He's on fire. I guess we can tie this into, the Wrestling Nomad asked us a question. He said, why do you guys think Gable showed out this weekend? I think I have a theory. I guess, you know, he took 2 losses to Kassar. He's back into freestyle. He's feeling good. You know, he has a good win. He has another good win. And next thing you know, he's wrestling Adam Kuhn. And he's just back in the zone, back in the freestyle zone. No one's going to stop him. How do you think Gable, I know I'm springing a question on you here. How do you think he's going to do at the world level? Assuming, you know, he beats Quiz. Assuming he beats Quiz.
Okay, so I'm just going to think about the main competitors at the world level. The Russian that I can't pronounce his name, ranked 4th. He's pretty good. He's big, strong guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then the 2 guys that I'm worried about for Gable are Gino Petrovelli and Taha Akul. Mm-hmm. Those guys, and Gable just proved that he can go with a big, strong dude with Adam Kuhn. But I'm still worried about how he handles a big, strong dude that can shoot and that's super athletic, like Anthony Kassar. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see if he beats Quiz. Man, I might take him to win. But,
Yeah. So, right now, I have the rankings, Flow Wrestling's rankings pulled up. Go check them out, guys. They're very, very, very helpful. Right now, Quiz is ranked 13th. Number 1, Taha Akgul from Turkey. 2, Gino Petrishvili, I guess. and then 3 is Hadi, the Iranian. So, yeah. Looking at some real, real big guys, big specimens here. And so I think that if he beats Quiz, I'm not going to put him to win, but I think I'll give him a shot at placing.
Okay. If he beats Quiz, I guess it kind of depends on the way he beats Quiz.
Right.
If he goes out there and does the same thing to Quiz that he did to Adam Kuhn, I'm picking him to win. But if he goes out there and wins in 3 matches with a squeaky win or a good call from the ref or something, I might pick him to medal. That's a good point that Quiz is not at the top of the ladder. And there are guys to hire. A guy that I think is he placed really high. He got silver last year at Worlds. That I think Gable absolutely destroys is the Chinese guy.
Dang?
Dang.
Yeah.
I think Gable kills him. I think the style that Dang wrestles is perfect for Gable. So if he could get a draw similar to what Gwiz got last year, he's set up to get at least silver.
Right. I agree.
I'm interested to see how Gable's future looks. And then, man, if Kassar gets 2 more years, that's a rivalry right there.
Oh, yeah.
See. I'm excited. I really
two
want
more
this
years.
Two more years.
Oh my
Colton
gosh.
Schultz, Cassiope, Gable Steveson, Greg Kirkfleet, and Anthony Kassar in there. Are you kidding? Yes.
Yeah.
Jeez. That is heavy, awesome.
Heavyweight's gonna be so good. Ah, it's so good. Okay. Moving on. The NJRTC. Just wow. They're doing a really, really good job. Sam, do you have any thoughts on them?
Yo, absolutely. They've really impressed me. I mean, it's a great wrestling state, the state of New Jersey is.
Oh, yeah.
But it didn't have much high-level wrestling. But Rutgers and NJRTC are building something to last for the state of New Jersey, and I'm excited for the future for them. I know Johnny Prince Laugh, Chris Ayers, and Reese Humphrey. Those are coaches of Rutgers, Princeton, and the NJRTC. Are just really, really killing it there, and they're making a huge name for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they just got Pat Downey in Final X. They got Tyler Graff in Final X. Who else did they put in Final X? Did they put anybody?
I don't know off
like
the top
got three.
Of my head.
Yeah, I don't either. That's kind of sad. I don't know. But it's very, very impressive what they're doing there. They have Nick Chiriano, who just beat the world bronze medalist, and he beat Dayton Fix. I mean, the future for Rutgers and the future for Princeton and NJRTC is looking awesome. I'm excited for what they can do.
Same. Wow. NJRTC has come a long way. You know, they're doing great. Well, let's see. So I think those are a lot of the big thoughts for, I guess, men's freestyle, senior level. Let's throw out some junior thoughts. Well, I think right off the bat, we should say Brayton Lee, because, hoo boy, dude, he was down a lot of points and came back and won by a lot of points. Like, he was down, what, 3 matches in a row and then came back and won? Crazy.
Well, 4 if you count both of the finals.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he made a new fan of me. Tell me that guy's not exciting.
Oh, he's
awesome.
Tell
me that guy's not exciting. He brings so much energy to the mat and to the interviews that he's in. It's so entertaining to watch, and it just excites me. The praise that he gives his coaches, his partners. He's a humble guy who just really cares about wrestling. He cares about others. He cares about his partners and coaches. Just a great dude that if I was a college coach, I'd really want him in my program.
Yeah. No, he's going places, that's for sure. Oh, man.
I mean, real quick, I'm just going to pull some stats from his weekend. Against Ja'Cory Teamer, he was down 7-0. He ended up winning 12-9.
Mm.
Against Peyton Robb, he was down 8-2 and won 17-8. Against Sammy Sasso, in the first match, he was down 8-0 and won 11-8. And in the second match, he was down 1-0 and won 8-1.
So, what I'm basically hearing here is, if you get a lead on Brayton Lee, you've basically lost.
You're not done yet. Brayton Lee has lost before.
Right. But you guys, just shut him away. Don't give him a chance. If you
yeah.
can pin him, pin him. If you can check him, check him. But the longer he stays on the mat, the more of a shot he has to get his hand raised.
Let's talk about what kind of chances he has in the college season next year.
What weight is he
going
to go?
He said he's going 49.
Mm. Wow.
So that's going to look like probably Kolodzic, Sasso is going to be in their team, or a lot of those redshirt freshmen are going to be his competition.
Right. Well, so after Zane left, 49 was pretty barren this year, you know, with Ashnault and then Jordan and Kolodzic. But then, you know, now Jordan graduated and Ashnault graduated, so it's just Kolodzic is the only big older name, and he takes a lot of weird losses sometimes.
He does.
I have high hopes for Brayton Lee. I think he's going to do very well, especially because it's pretty blown wide open. Anyone can go in and take it, but Brayton Lee is succeeding at the highest level. He's proven that it doesn't matter how many points down he is, he's never out of a match. He was talking about in his interview, just go, like, it doesn't matter about points, you just go out and you wrestle hard for 6 minutes or 7 minutes or however long it's going to be.
You know what scares me about his next college year? is folk style versus freestyle. The way you can break guys and just gas them out in freestyle, totally different in folk style, because a guy can just lay on bottom after he's taken you down. I mean, if he gets taken down that many times by Sammy Sasso, the match is going to be over. Sammy Sasso can stall that out. But in freestyle, when he smells blood, he's in there to get it done. And I think he's going to have to figure out a way to I mean, maybe that's just cutting guys constantly. He's going to have to get really, really good on the mat, particularly in bottom, so that he can get out right away. Mm-hmm. He needs to spend as much time as possible in neutral next year, I think, is his key to succeeding.
Right. Good analysis there, Sam.
Thank you.
Well, let's see. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Junior? What other thoughts you got?
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot. Well, not a lot, but a few more thoughts. I like Vito on the Junior World Team, Vito Arujo.
Yeah.
That was, I was really glad when I heard he was going down to Juniors. Except for the fact that I love watching him compete against the highest level guys.
Yeah.
At the senior level. I wanted to see Vito Gilman, but that's okay because I really want him on our Junior World Team.
Right.
And here's some thoughts I have. I know that one of his biggest competition just moved up to seniors from Russia, Sadulayev. Mm. And I think that makes Vito the favorite for me. I think, well, India's got a really tough guy in juniors. I'm excited to see how he can do. But I still believe that Vito, I think he's the favorite. I'm going to pick him to win the world title.
Awesome.
But, yeah, I'm super excited for what he can do at the junior level. And then once he wins a world title there, what he can do at the senior level after that.
Right. Like, you know, he's so good. He's so good. He was up 6-0 on Dayton Fix, who's U.S. Open champ sitting in Final X. Vito's going places.
He really is. Super excited for what he can do.
Jamie Hernandez, he beat Decatur and RBY. Like, that's crazy.
What? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's another guy I want to talk about. Like, and that goes right back to Tony Ramos and what he's doing as a coach at North Carolina. And guess who we had in the finals? Mm. Another North Carolina commit. Gabe Tagg. And that's a guy I wanted to talk about, just what he was able to do to Jamie Hernandez and what he's able to do to RBY.
Right.
He's a guy that's going to be really good at college at 33 or 41, whichever way he goes. He's going to be really, really good.
Right. I mean, RBY was an All-American in the toughest weight class this year. He beat Mickey Phillippe, right? RBY's no joke at all.
And Gabe Tagg was able to go out there and pin him, which he was. It was a tight match before that, but I mean.
A pin's a pin. The match is over.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, RBY's been pinned a couple times in some high-level matches at the scuffle with Austin Gomez. I was front seat watching that, front row.
Surprising.
The crowd blew up for that one.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm getting off topic again.
Yeah.
I'm excited for what UNC has in stock for their next year. And then for more years to come, I think they're going to be really good. They're building something to last again there in North Carolina.
They're doing a good work. Jeez, I'm sorry. I'm very tired.
That's all right. I understand.
No, I'm really excited for Vito and Tag and Lee and Carr and Brooks at Worlds. These guys are going to do so well. You know, these are the future of our senior level athletes. I'm ecstatic. They're doing great.
I'm kind of scared for what our heavier weights have at Worlds. After Brooks, it doesn't look so great, in my opinion.
Right. A lot of guys didn't even go to the trials.
Yeah. I listened to FR and I'm with Willie. I'm mad that Iowa didn't compete.
Yeah.
They had some great guys that really would have helped out with our team. I'm just a little bit, patriotic to United States.
Yeah.
While I want to see Iowa do well in college, I want to see United States win titles. But that's okay. They got to do what they got to do.
Right.
But I'm going to look to see what are some guys that we have. I mean, Trent Hidley, he can do really well at the world level.
Of course.
but he's never really been a total freestyle guy. It's just interesting that we have so many non-freestyle guys. I mean, Lucas Davidson from Northwestern at 92, and then Tanner Sloan at 97, and Mason Paris at heavyweight. Mason Paris never wrestled freestyle.
Ever?
Until Fargo last year.
Oh, wow.
He was just so heavy into football and track, he didn't even know if he wanted to wrestle in college.
That's so funny.
He had never wrestled freestyle, now he's on the world team.
That's crazy.
Kind of because of the absence of Anthony Cassiope.
Yeah.
But I just don't know about our heavyweights at Worlds. Well, I'm going to have to see, because guys that don't have much freestyle experience might not do so well at the world level.
Stay tuned. This kind of reminds me. Did you know that the Hydeleys, they went to high school about like 30 minutes away? And like, we go to practice and stuff together.
I think I've heard that, because they wrestled for Churchill, didn't they?
Yeah, sometimes. They would go to practice. I remember one of the practices Churchill would have, I remember Hayden came in, and super nice guy. He's really great. And he talked about, like, making the decision to go to NC State and all this kind of stuff. So, pretty cool.
I appreciate his and Trent's relationship. Trent was talking about that in his interview. Just kind of what Hayden's done for his wrestling, and not only his wrestling, but his just life. And I love to see that happen.
Right.
You want to get on to questions?
I think I do, Sam. I think we'll take a gander at some of these questions here.
Okay. What are some ones you want to answer?
Well, our good friend Dyson Gould, who asks a great question, he said, who is more impressive, Colton Schultz on the senior level or Vito Arujo tech falling everyone? And I'll answer this first. I think Colton Schultz is more impressive because, first of all, we already knew Vito is that good. Like, we already knew that he's right there with a lot of these senior-level athletes. And so it's not really a surprise that he's killing juniors. Now, Colton Schultz, who was he was only a junior, going up and making Final X on the senior levels, I think that's more impressive. So, basically, Colton's wrestling up, Vito's wrestling down. We already know Vito's that good. And now we know Colton's that good. So, what about you, Sam?
I would have to agree. I mean, Colton Schultz, as a high schooler, went through the senior Greco, and Greco especially is a sport for older men. It's not like freestyle where younger guys can come in, or should come in. Colton Schultz just proved me wrong. Should come in and be able to handle those guys. I mean, they just have another level of strength. But Colton Schultz came into the bracket, beat Toby Erickson, he beat Jacob Mitchell, and then Robbie Smith twice. That's insanely impressive, not just for anybody, but just for a high schooler. That's insane. Right. He's going to be so good. I kind of want him to – I want him to go win a world title in Greco and then start focusing heavy on folk style and freestyle so that he can entertain us in college for Arizona State. Mm-hmm. And that would be awesome for rivalry's sake with – I already mentioned this, Kassar, Gable Steveson, Cassiope, so many of those guys. That could be a great weight, like 33 kind of last year.
Yeah, heavyweight is looking really good, guys. It's looking really, really good. Okay, so we already asked Nomad's question, which was about why do we think Gable showed up this weekend? So it says, our next question is from Michael Jarman. It says, who has the best chance to dethrone a returning world medalist, Bo, Gable, or Ringer? I think the answer here is pretty clear. I think we're both going to go Derringer, but I'm going to pick Bo against Jaden, and I might pick Bo against, not Bo, Gable against Quiz.
Well, then why are you picking Ringer?
Actually, you know what? Yeah, what am I doing? I'm going to take Bo Nickel. Well, okay. I think Bo has the best chance.
I'm going to go the other way. Way, I'm gonna say Ringer. And something to look at, Bo and Ringer both have world champs, and Gable has a bronze. So on paper, it looks like, and Gable just looked amazing, Tech Poon.
Yeah.
On paper, it looks like it should be Gable. But I'm gonna say it's Ringer. I already talked about why I believe Ringer has the chance to beat Jake. I'm not picking any of these guys to beat the returning world medalist, but I think Ringer has the best chance out of them three. While I believe that Bo and Gable both have a great chance, I think Ringer just has that much more. Just because of his style, because of his history with Jake. I mean, the last time they wrestled, it was 5-5. And a little switch from the ref's call, and Derringer beats Jake.
Right. He might be our world champ. Who knows? But, hey, great question, Michael. Let's see. All right, I think we got time for one more question here. So, here's our question. It's from Craig Donar. He says, does USA Wrestling have as much film on the rest of the world? I love the coverage we get of our guys, but I wonder if it actually hurts us in regards to scouting at all levels. Sam, what do you think about this question?
It's an interesting thought. I think that the recordings of the match where we might get scouted is something that definitely might hinder Americans' performance, but that's something that is good for the sport, where guys can scout and game plan. Mm-hmm. And it's something that Americans especially are used to because of the video involved in NCAA college wrestling, and high school and youth wrestling all has videos everywhere, thanks to flow wrestling and track wrestling.
Right.
I don't think that we should do anything about it other than possibly covering more international wrestling, which Flow is doing a great job of. They're actually in Italy this weekend. And so I think the only thing we should do about that is continue to cover more international events. But I don't think it's hurting us that much. I just think it's part of wrestling. Scouting is part of wrestling.
It is
going to happen.
It is 100% part of the sport. Also, you know, you can scout for a guy, you can game plan for a guy, but if you're only going to win if you make the decision to win. So I can watch as much film as I want on Jordan Burroughs, but if I don't go out there 100% believing in myself that I'm going to win, I won't win, right? It's like that's the only chance I have is just faith in myself. That's the only chance. If I have one shred of doubt in my body, then I'm not going to win. So,
That makes sense.
What I gotta say. All right.
I think that does it for episode 9. Thanks, Jude, for doing this with me. I think this was a really good episode, and I'm excited for our Final X previews, predictions, picks, whatever we may have for you guys. Right. And super excited for the events coming up. I'm actually going to Rutgers, and Jude is working on it. If any of you listeners know anybody from State College that wants to go to Final X Rutgers on the same day, let Jude know because he's looking for a ride.
Looking for a ride. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Home Mat Advantage Wrestling Podcast. Sam, I think we should drop a little bit of news here that you guys really, really should be excited for. Sometime next week, we have a very, very, very special interview coming out. And I want as many people to listen to it as possible because here on Home Mat Advantage, we are going to be interviewing Yanni Diakomihalis. hopefully we're going to do the recording sometime on next Tuesday, and then we'll post it. Maybe that day, maybe Thursday. I don't know yet. But keep an eye out. Keep looking for it because it's going to be really, really good. But guys, thank you guys so much for listening. Please send us questions at @HMA_pod for our Twitter, and our email is hmatadvantage@gmail.com. You can follow us at samwise_2006 and at FRL_questioner. And we will be back next week for episode 10. Thank you guys so much for listening.